Is this going to be a good episode?
Yeah, it's going to be a good episode. I'm sorry, I lost my notes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a good episode. Because otherwise, I was going to talk about economic bubbles. And I'm like, you guys are going to fuck a dork, nerd. So I was thinking about this. And this was a story that was a couple months ago. Someone told me, and they're like, I found out about this crazy thing called Black Wall Street.
Hmm.
And I'm like, never heard of that. And he's also this guy who's normally a bullshitter. Because I was kind of like, is he just making this up? Because it sounded ridiculous. They're like, yeah, they fucking were flying planes and bombing them and shit. So it's going to be a pretty good episode. It turns out it's true. So this week on the Red Report, we're talking about Wall Street, but not Whitey's Wall Street, but the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Never heard of it? Well, that's because the Whiteys tried to burn it off the whole damn map. As always, we have Meat Mountain Mystic, Cat Piss Curtains Oracle, Tank Terrorizer Teddy, and me, Ashtray, the asshat of alliteration. And this is the Red Eye Report.
Hey, that was short.
Short and sweet.
And sweet. Nice and tight.
Teddy didn't even hear it.
Yeah, right.
No, I was making. I'm making hot water for tea, and I got my electric kettle right here, and I didn't want y'all to
fucking terrorizer Teddy. All right, so Black Wall Street. Turns out it was this area in. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was a neighborhood called the Greenwood District, and this happened in between May 31st and June 1st of 1921.
21, Teddy.
Just back up his story. So it's considered the single worst incident of racial violence in America. Like white residents, in the sense of they attacked the residents of this Greenwood district. I thought
Trump getting elected was.
Yeah, right. So the Greenwood district was called, nickname was actually the Negro Wall Street. Jesus, Teddy. And nowadays we properly call it Black Wall Street.
Mute it,
damn it.
I did mute it, shut up.
What are you doing, man?
The audio usually comes through my headset, but it didn't this time. Fuck you.
Anyways, this was at the time in the 1920 was the most wealthy black community in all of America.
Yep.
Like they had all kinds of
Atlanta of the 20s.
Yeah, essentially, the 20s, it was organized in 1906, and they had several grocery stores, two newspapers, nightclubs, two movie theaters, many churches, and plenty of professionals, doctors, lawyers, clergy, dentists.
All black owned.
Yep. And so like a lot of even the construction and building businesses there was actually made with black investment. It wasn't like a full Wall Street per se, but the place was wealthy enough that they weren't having to go to white banks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To fund their neighborhood.
Self-sustained community. Yeah.
And essentially, it was also supported because Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time was considered the oil capital of America or the world, just because it was the oil boom at the time.
Sure. So yeah, was there like kind of a source for this stability? Like where did they get the money from? Or was it just the community that banded together?
It was the community. It was founded in 1906, and this is right after 1905 that, Teddy Booker T. Washington. That's who. I was thinking Frederick Douglass, but those old famous time civil rights.
Color fellas.
Yeah, color fellas. Booker T. Washington was touring Arkansas and like doing these like basically he was finding black communities that were pretty well stable and full of professionals and educated people that they could kind of hold their own. And so he also visited like the next year, 1906, the Greenwood District of Tulsa. So it's already Tulsa, Oklahoma, but this neighborhood becomes this hub known as Greenwood, also Black Wall Street. It was like the north side of Tulsa.
It wasn't small. It was about 35 city blocks.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's small or anything like that, but it was I guess how it grew into stability was that it was a neighborhood of Tulsa, greater Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and the, just to give you some of the rough, quick statistics is that there was 35 plus blocks of homes and businesses that ended up being destroyed and burned. 800 plus people were sent to the hospitals. 6,000 of the black residents were arrested, many for days, held in detention centers. 36 dead was the original Oklahoma State statistic. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, decades after this happened, there was silence. Like, both black and white people just didn't talk about it, and the state in general took it out of the history books. Some of the old newspaper microfilms that were actually like went in and destroyed some of these articles that inflamed this riot. There was a commission started in 96, which Oklahoma, basically the state made it a commission. They're like, we should fully investigate what really happened here because mm-hmm. our state tried to hide it. In 2001 is when they finally came out with their final report. So it's only since 2001 that people have really been educated on what actually happened. So what started it? So I already kind of gave you the time and setting. This is started. It was May 30th, 1921. This guy, old Dick Rowland, he was a 19-year-old black shoe shiner, and he entered the elevator in the it was the Drexel Building. It was a building on Main Street downtown. Had a single elevator that had a top floor restroom, which was like a black only restroom. That was so they couldn't use any of the other nice ones on the first floor. And
job segregation was in full swing.
So Sarah Page, the 17-year-old white chick who was the elevator operator, the commission, after all the research, assumes that they would know each other in passing because he would have gone to this bathroom many times before.
Yes.
And anyways, the 17-year-old chick starts screaming in the elevator when it comes back down on the first floor. And Dick Rowland, the 19-year-old shoe shiner, runs out of the elevator. Shop owner comes in the elevator and Sarah Page is all flustered or whatever. And of course, he's like, rape. He raped her. So they call the authorities. But actually, the police in general realized quickly it was not like she was not assaulted. That was the word they used for rape back then. So they just did a low key
or what?
So yeah, why was she yelling?
So they don't really know because this is how much the cops were like, okay, nothing, not a real serious crime happened here because they didn't take a written statement. She agreed later she wasn't going to press any charges.
Yeah.
What the commission thinks in all their investigation, because there's all they could get was rumors at the time of what sparked this riot. And it's like, and it was this newspaper posting this salacious story that he raped her in the elevator. And so the cops, though, were like, we're not going to send a manhunt. Like, we'll talk to our people on the ground. And eventually, like, a black detective was the one who found him, arrested him, turned him in. And the commission thinks maybe he tripped, fell into her, or maybe they had just some sort of quarrel. But there was, at the time, too, there were rumors that they were secret lovers, but they think that's highly unlikely, too.
Secret lover.
Yep. The
jungle fever.
So that day, on Monday, like, word starts going fast around the neighborhood that like this black shoeshine boy raped old Sarah Page. And so all of a sudden, like, once he got arrested, there was the sheriff, old Willard McCullough. He was actually like, we can't let this guy get fucking taken by the mobs and lynched, because a year prior in 1920, there was a white murder suspect and the previous sheriff was unable to stop a mob who came in and took this white suspect and lynched him right in the town square. So, like, of course, a black guy. So, if
they did that to a white dude.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck are they going to do to a black dude? Jesus.
Yeah. Right? And so, this new sheriff was like, I'm determined. I'm not going to let this guy get lynched. So, he took him from the, like, not, you know, the regular sheriff's department jail cell into the courthouse. They had a top level jail cell, took him up there, put with six of his own men around, armed, and put men on the rooftop of the courthouse. And basically killed the power to the elevator and blockaded the stairwell.
Jeez.
And yeah, so
all to protect some colored?
Protect this colored boy? Yeah. Well, we need to just take out here for their streets.
Yes, because we's people too, god damn it.
So because there was literally an
inspirational movie about this.
By the
starring Matthew McConaughey.
So
also, Saint Jackson.
The black people in Greenwood knew as well. They're like, they're going to lynch him. If they lynched that white guy last year, they're going to lynch old Dick tonight. So they start getting, apparently these are names of some of the rioters who started.
You hear about Dick Rowan?
Listen to some of these names. This one was Will Robinson, who is a dope peddler and all around bad Negro. There was also Peg Leg Taylor.
What?
Peg Leg Taylor.
Peg Leg Taylor. Pub Bassett. Henry Van Dyke. Chester Ross. Fatty.
Who the fuck are these people?
OB Mann. And W.S. Weaver. These were people who ran some of the clubs. They were in the black community. So, like, they were kind of the black gangsters of Greenwood. Yeah, Peg Leg Taylor. So the at this time as well, it's 1921. So World War One is finished, and all these black soldiers who fought in the war are back.
Okay, and so, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, and a lot of these black soldiers were like, I've just fought in the fucking war for this country. Like they. Or what the white man at the time would call, they were more uppity and thought that they had rights.
Yeah, they were getting uppity for sure.
Yeah. Right? Oh, you're not a citizen just because you served in a war. So, and being veterans, like, they had arms. So they
Michael
all
Rooker could be the sheriff.
They all went and got their guns.
These niggas are getting uppity in here.
Yeah.
And well, no, so, the sheriff was for him because he protected.
Oh, yeah, you know, he'd be the head of the mob. We ride against these uppity niggas at dawn, boys.
So the white mob is outside the courthouse, and a group of armed black men come up to the courthouse. Ooh. And they claim they're there to support the sheriff because the sheriff's trying to protect the prisoners. Sheriff claims, oh, don't need your help. And the mob is like, who the fuck told you that? And they're like, the sheriff told us to do it. Like, whether the sheriff really... Sheriff claims he never told them, but that's like what the armed black men said as their reason for showing up. They left, come back with 75 armed black men.
Damn.
Yeah, right.
Guns and shotguns.
We got a problem.
Show up to the course. But mind you, there's still 1,000 white people plus outside the courthouse. So they still are
pretty
outnumbered.
They got pitchforks and fucking torches, though.
Yeah, right.
75 black people got some balls then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, man, they just came back from fucking World War One.
Right.
They survived.
You fought the Kaiser, you fucking white cunt.
So, and they started, they were also the black men in Greenwood, these guys who were, you know, the kind of black mob gangsters. They, and some of these World War One vets, they started getting, you also forget that this is the advent of automobiles being available for anyone with some regular means now. Right. So they were getting in cars and driving around the neighborhood with their guns out the window.
Model T chases and
coming damn, up and dude. Yeah, they were basically, you know, just kind of doing reconnaissance, seeing how big the crowd was getting, and also letting them know that they were
driving around in cars, right?
What's that?
And these are black dudes driving around in cars, right?
Yeah, they were black dudes driving around in cars with guns. So it's like for white people to see black men with rifles driving around in a nice car.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, right.
So these 75 armed men come up and they are like, we want, you know, they again say that we're here to help the sheriff protect the prisoner. And the sheriff's people are like, we didn't ask for you. And one of these white guys says, now
here before you get killed.
Dummy. They're saying this is the crowd may have been up to around 2,000 people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They don't really know exactly what happened. They think someone tried to disarm one of the black men or told him to drop his gun. And or someone may have even just fired a warning shot in the air. But that initial shot went off, and then it just became this like fucking gunfight. Just
fucking the wild west.
And they said it was over in just, a matter of seconds. Like, it was just kind of like the crowds just started shooting at each other because the white people had seen them driving around with guns. A lot of white people throughout that day went back home and gunned up and came out.
Got there.
So they were already, they had rearmed themselves because they were like, Negroes with rifles and cars? Oh my.
Good guy's got to get a gun. So
that initial couple second fight, 10 dead white people, 2 dead black people. And I'm sure
I could have got aim, huh?
Yeah, right? I'm sure, you know.
Shoot the scare and these niggas can't
dozens,
shoot.
Dozens, wounded by crossfire and stuff. But so... The black men retreat back to Greenwood, and the white mobs basically just follow them right into that neighborhood. They start looting stores. They're getting down into like the main
drag. So white people were looting black businesses.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's all. looted the shit out of these poor people.
They actually tried to keep them out because they set a barricade up by the train tracks. Because you had to cross over the train tracks to get over there. So they set up a barricade trying to keep them out.
But there was a division line,
yeah. And they
couldn't, so that was kind of the no man's land throughout most of this riot was along these rail tracks. But the white mob goes right into Greenwood, and there's 2 movie theaters. And I guess the pedestrians who are just coming out of a movie are just like, what the fuck? And the white mob just starts shooting black pedestrians. They even killed one white man on accident, they said in the report.
Yeah.
Yeah. because he was accidentally holding a black girl's hand.
Yeah. So throughout the night, they're robbing. Basically, they're looting into those black businesses, and they were kicking people out of their homes and then just looting their homes. And because they know when they're putting black people out on the street, they were getting basically arrested for the most part. If they weren't actually putting up a fight and getting just shot, because there were black snipers up in the churches. There was a witness report of, when a bunch of white guys in a car decide they're going to drive in with their guns, over into Greenwood, and like the armed black men just fucking killed all of them.
Wow.
That night, there were gunfights continue up throughout the night, and they had basically gone to the National Guard building and started getting arms from there, the white mob. So by the time into Wednesday early morning on June 1st at around 1 a.m., the fires start. And the white mob they basically start shooting at any of the firefighters who try to put fires out in the black neighborhood. And so it's kind of this, there's accusations that the city conspired and that like the white firefighters were like in cahoots with the government to only put out fires in the white buildings or white properties. But there's also reports from the firefighters themselves of being like, we couldn't even try to go over there, we started getting shot at. It wasn't like we were conspiring with the city to not put these fires out, but we weren't even like able to drive into the neighborhood without getting shot at by the white mob. And so like that's like a core root too, to like why the black community has a big distrust in the entire, the city services and the police. They then, a bunch, like about a dozen or more airplanes, mind you, this is 1921. So think of World War I airplanes. Fucking Red Baron and shit. Red
Baron
flying around. Yeah. And they were dropping these, what they call them?
Nitro bombs.
Yeah, they were fire bombs, basically. They were like tar fire bombs on the rooftops to set the rooftops on fire.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't napalm at the time, but similar kind of like, you know, a flammable ball of sticky shit.
A combustible element.
A firebomb of some sort. And they also, they were shooting with rifles out of the planes. So I don't think any of the planes were, they weren't war planes with machine guns on them because they weren't Air Force or anything like that.
Well, there probably wasn't that much of a difference between an Air Force plane and just a plane that you're dropping incendiary bombs out of.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have machine guns like the Red Baron would have, because there were planes like that. But these were just, they were just literally getting up there with
prop dusters and shit.
Yeah, with their fucking rifles and stuff and taking shots at anyone out in the street, anyone black. And also machine gun.
Especially at night. How can you tell who you shoot at is black or white? I mean, it's not like they have spotlights. I believe the planes
came later in the day. Because the National Guard from Oklahoma City arrived at 9:15 a.m. In the area. And after, so they finally like kind of quelled down most of the fighting between, you know, gangs of black men and the general big white mob. And basically they also arrested any black people. They're just all arrested, taken to kind of like the fairgrounds, you know, like and held super for a couple days. Ended up, let's see here. What was some of these stats? They estimated around 100 to 300 people probably died.
Wow.
I kind of got the ends of my notes here, but Walter Francis, who was an NAACP reporter or member, like he worked for them in New York. He traveled immediately to Tulsa because this did make national news at the time. His estimate was about 50 white people dead and 150 to 200 black people dead. And most of the deaths were not from fires because they literally kicked the black families out and then just looted their house. And then because the black families would then just get like thrown in line with all the other black people and marched off to the fairgrounds to be detained. And they would steal their shit and then burn the house down.
Damn. So what the hell happened to these people?
Fucking ruthless.
The reason they were doing it is because they said they were upset because when you walk through the neighborhood, you got black people who had pianos in their house. And you got a white dude who didn't have a piano in his house.
Fucking kill him.
Like you said, it's a self-sustaining economic community. Everybody in the community was pretty much wealthy. They had nice houses.
And
they had shit. So the white people across town didn't have shit. So
they had they're called the Red Summer, I think, at the time when it was. Yeah. Red Summer. There it is. 1919, the Red Summer. There were all kinds of race riots in cities around the Midwest and in the South. So this is just, you know, a couple of years prior. So at the time, because in 1919, they were coming back from the war.
So is this.
So in the climate and the time, they're like, they see it as, hey, you're back. Anyways, at the time of the climate, they see race riots are like just a tinder away.
Right. And, so does this tie into what is it? The Great Migration from the South up to northern cities?
Oh, it may. I'm not sure that Great Migration, what the time year frame.
That was before that, wasn't it?
That's what I thought it was before.
Yeah, well, but then
late 1800s.
Before, right? Yeah, late 1800s, but it would have taken them time to establish, you know, communities and stuff like that.
That their community was apart after.
Or you think Tulsa's far enough north, though? I mean,
that's true. There are some people, though, who even consider, and part of the thing with Tulsa sometimes, like these, this commission was saying, like, sometimes they don't think that Tulsa was south enough to have that kind of violence, but it's like, nope, that's how racist and Jim Crow laws were then. And so it ended up essentially being whitewashed from history up until the 70s, I believe. Someone at Tulsa University did a full master thesis on it. It didn't really get around outside of just that, the university circle there. But then it was that night, you know, it's like people knew about it. And they finally decided, like, we got to do some interviews with these survivors who are still, while they're still alive. So in the 90s and early 2000s, they got a lot of testimony from old people who are still, who are alive when that happened.
Hmm. Well, that's crazy that they're just, I mean, this was such a big event. How,
yeah, and it's like you don't read about it in history. And that's the thing, too, is that it wasn't be in any of the textbooks. And then a lot of the teachers were just like, well, I'm not comfortable teaching this because they didn't really know anything about it. And it does make Tulsa look really fucking bad.
Yeah. You ever been to Tulsa? It's shit. Doesn't matter.
So there was also at the time there was a heavy KKK presence. So there's probably about 3,200 active members at the time. In the city's population is about 72,000. So anyways, that it ended up being whitewashed, and now you'll see some, there's some recent articles where they're finally getting the money to do some of these investigations. They're looking for the mass graves because a lot of these black men were buried without any marking, and there are rumors of mass graves because there also were some photographs. I don't know if Oracle brought up any, some of the old,
yeah, I've been showing some photographs.
You know, of dead black men on the back of trucks, like stacked up like wood. And I know in this one cemetery where they did some radar searching, deep radar searching, they didn't really seem to find any evidence there yet. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things like, holy shit. Like, why is this not talked about at all, really? And a lot of it is because there were many people who in the, by the 70s and 80s had no idea, you know, they weren't old enough to remember, and nobody was talking about it for that long.
So you said it makes you wonder how, like, why nobody was talking about this. It makes me wonder how many times this shit happened and we really didn't find out about it yet. So
yeah, that's true. So right,
especially prior to this, prior to photography and stuff, you
right.
know?
Yeah. So actually this is directly tied to the Great Migration. So the Great Migration was a result of World War One. I thought it was more of a result of Reconstruction, but actually during World War One, because of industrialized urban areas in the north not having enough labor, black migrants moved into those areas. And that's why you had the Red Summer of 1919. And shit was... Tinder.
They didn't like the black folks coming.
Right.
I get you.
Yeah. And that, well, yeah. You know, imagine. Yeah,
they were northern.
They were,
you and can have rights, but not in my yard.
Right. And these people that went off to World War One, these white men that went off to World War One, they come back. Guess who's in your fucking backyard now?
Oh yeah. Shit.
So, yeah. Interesting. This is all new to me.
Yeah. Well, and
it is kind of disturbing that it's not taught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in due part, you have to recognize too that there was no real concise report until 2001, when that commission like went through and you know they found all some of the old photos, and that's also when they discovered that this one article that you know was kind of like this. It was a newspaper that was known to be sensationalist at the time. And it wrote, apparently there was an op-ed written that, there was the crowd was going to lynch him that night, like in the newspaper, basically an op-ed saying, yep, we're going to have a lynching tonight. And wow. That was part of the, that was part of the records that even when the commission went back to try to pull the concise history, that had been actually ripped out of the microfilm and destroyed.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
God damn.
So they try to hide. That's how much they try to hide that shit.
So
and why? Like, what? This happened?
Now, do you think that in trying to hide this, do you think it is motivated by people in, let's just say, Tulsa, Oklahoma government, because they are embarrassed and they don't want that to come up? Or do you definitely. Think that it's elements?
It's actually local and state wide efforts to kind of they muddied the statistics.
Right.
And because they show in this commission where they find like some of these different headlines that were coming from the newspapers like the day after. And they'd have these like 175 killed, many wounded. And then like the next day it'd be like 35,
right,
you know, dead.
Like, that, well,
that's crazy because, how much the record because was the sheriffs or whatever,
you know, would tell the newspaper, nope, this is actually the real number now.
Right.
Well,
that's freaking wild.
And governments have been, I mean, do that all the time. That's the thing. Like, well, right. Like, that's like their thing. They don't want to be known as the, you know, the city where that happened.
Dude. Yeah. You don't want to be known as that. But, you know, I wondered, were there elements of like the KKK in the government?
Oh, that, yeah. No, that's.
Oh, there's.
Definitely were. Yeah. The KKK was there, and the KKK was a lot of them were they were in their full robes and hoods during the riot.
Yeah.
Because, and that was also why a lot of them couldn't be identified in some of these hearings they did, because no one's ever been ended up being charged.
Wow,
after,
dude.
There were like 80 some indictments, but ended up ultimately no one ever getting charged for this riot.
Jeez. You guys ever watch Mindhunter?
No. I've seen an episode.
Netflix. So this last season was about the child killer in Atlanta. It was too, I was too young to remember it, but it happened in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. But it was a black guy who was killing black children. And the Atlanta government basically was, they weren't covering it up, but they weren't saying that they thought it was a black dude, because like the optics of having a black serial killer in a fucking predominantly black city was like still seen to this day. Like the dude that they think did it has never been charged for it. He was charged for two adult murders, but they think he killed like 27 kids.
Wow.
And he was never charged for it.
Huh.
Because the government didn't want to be known as the city with the black, you know, child
this
killer.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the 80s. Like the FBI, like, was even, they were helping with the profiling and shit. They were fucking appalled, you know, like, we have,
but they basically just didn't report it much.
Yeah, and they had evidence linking this dude to like 9 of the 27, like directly linking him with DNA, not DNA, they didn't really have it then, but like fibers off his shirt and shit, you know.
Yeah, that's really messed up. I mean, I think most or more so for the families, because they don't get the closure.
Right.
You know, they're just kind of, they're hanging out there. There's a podcast called The Clearing, which was really popular this year. And it was actually about this guy, Ed Edwards, who kind of conspiracy theorists or these people that really get into murder fucking shit, like Making a Murder type stuff, said that he was responsible for basically like all of these unsolved murders throughout the United States.
And Edwards was?
Yeah, Edwards was. Like, he was this super freaking, like the uber serial killer that you had never heard of. And it's fascinating because it's the podcast is following his daughter, who eventually turned him in. And she's trying to find closure for families and trying to uncover whether he actually did murders or not. And sometimes,
is he in prison right now?
He's dead now.
Oh,
this isn't the dude that the FBI just came out and said was the most prolific serial killer.
Oh, no, that's a new one.
Maybe there's a new one, but
the black guy, who
okay, my son's on vacation away from me. Let's not talk about
hundreds of kids. Hundreds.
What?
They say he's up to 90s. Yeah, something. What the fuck? It just, he's just been in the news the last couple months because. I think they got him on a couple murders with DNA evidence, but he finally, some Texas Ranger, I guess, got him to talk, and he got him a deal of like getting him into a better prison in Texas than the one he was in. And he started giving up. he's actually doing drawings of these women.
Samuel Little.
Samuel Little, that's it.
Dude.
He's got little colored drawings he's been doing of these women, and he's got a photographic memory, they say, because he's giving all these details that like you would assume you'd forget after 95 dead hookers.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Does it all look the same?
That's crazy.
Yeah, but they think he is now the most prolific.
Holy shit.
See why they say not some crazy white dude gonna try to beat his record.
Yeah, right. Just to prove.
I mean, shit. Oh, he's the most prolific. I'm at 63, motherfucker. Let's go.
Well, the thing is, right? We may never know the most prolific serial killer.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. These are only the guys that got caught.
The guy caught. Yep. Yeah.
But look at all those. Those drawings he's doing.
But it, I guess
that's a pretty good strikeout rate, though. You only got caught for two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're hitting fucking, you know, you're hitting 900.
Yeah.
980.
Right. But I guess in that clearing, it's really fascinating because they kind of go into the families that didn't have the closure and it fucking destroyed people. They died.
Sure.
It fucking broke them down.
Oh, when they found, do they have interviews with these families when they're finding out about it?
With the families and they're saying, talking about like, because the children would go missing or whatever. And the father would, and the mother would just fucking break down mentally over the years.
Well, yeah, you would resent something happened to one of my kids.
And you had no idea.
I wouldn't be able to fucking look at my wife without thinking about him.
Yeah. And it's
disturbing to think that way.
They just disappeared.
Not talk about this anymore.
You're all right.
All right. All right. All right.
Yeah, my son's in Iowa right
now. It's easy for us. He's fine. Right.
Make you wish I would have put a fucking chip in his neck. Come here.
Look. Well, that was a good topic.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It was a very good topic. I got to that for Black History Month, you fucker. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Right. All right, we're moving on to what's sexy. Teddy, Tyler Perry Studios.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to look this shit up. Tyler Perry has a studio. I read it. I forgot to look up the article. I know about it. But he's got a studio. He made a studio in Atlanta. It's bigger than like Disney, Paramount, and like something else combined.
Really?
His studios.
Studio in the nation.
Really?
In the nation. Yep.
Damn,
yep.
Dude.
And it used to be like a Confederate. The thing about it, it used to be like a Confederate fort or base or something. And the quote that he said was that this used to be a Confederate base. And they had Confederates plotting to keep 3.5 million Negroes in chains. And now the land is owned by a Negro. So that was kind of spicy.
That's cool.
Was he wearing a dress when he said it?
Probably. Probably. I mean, the thing is, I didn't know the nigga had. I didn't know Medea and shit. I didn't think he's had
the Madea movies made that much money.
He's got so much money.
Oh, really?
Tyler Perry produces so many things.
Yeah, he's got TV shows. He's got fucking.
BET is like.
Is a shit. And my thing is like Tyler Perry. You're talking about Black Wall Street and Black people have so much money. If we had a self-sustaining community like that. It would. You have Little Italy, Little fucking Tokyo, Little China, Little and communities of. But we don't have a little Africa or a little Nigeria or a little ghetto. I mean, it's nothing self sustaining. And I'm like, I didn't know this nigga had that much money. I was really happy for him.
Sure.
I mean, if he wanted to cross dress for Christ, you know what I'm saying?
Will.i.am started doing that. He started a car company and it's built in fucking Compton. He's like employing fucking people from where he grew up.
He makes cars.
Huh, that's badass.
Yeah, cars. It's like a fucking sports car. Yeah.
Crazy,
huh?
Yeah, mate. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to bring up some of the. They've got it on the. Or I've got it on the feed now. Man, that looks like the fucking White House.
Tyler Perry's studio.
Damn, that's big. Yeah. Holy shit. That's fucking wild, dude.
But yeah, I mean, this nigga finna be making movies, bro. You want to make a movie? Come see Tyler Perry. He got a fucking studio built, sound stages.
What's that Jay-Z lyric? What's better than one billionaire, too, as long as they're the same hue as you? Talking about Beyonce and him. Like, that's a lot of money. Two people right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's And he,
like
and
they
he
could said, do, he you know said, how much they could do for communities that they grew up. You know what I mean? Like
that. Yeah, they did shit like that.
Instead of buying fucking Ferraris and shit, reinvest it.
very invested in. And he was talking about how like he doesn't feel like Hollywood gets him because like the reason he's made so much money is because he grew up, you know, like most of his pretty much all of his movies are for black people, and he grew up around black people. Like Hollywood doesn't get black people, right. So that's why he did it. And there's a lot of black movies that aren't being made that are great and everything else. So he's like, yeah.
All the white leverage out of the game.
I've got studios bigger than all these three fucking motherfuckers combined.
Yeah, and I feel like Hollywood is really kind of going through a crisis right now. You see a lot of the credits and stuff for shows and movies, they're being made in fucking like Atlanta and shit.
Mm-hmm. Canada is a big one.
Right. Because it doesn't pay to fucking do it in Hollywood anymore.
And there's states like Georgia. Yeah, it gives huge tax breaks.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty badass.
All right. Moving on to...
Bless you.
Gazootite. Thank you.
But you didn't say God bless you.
Oracle. What's sexy? Make me bleed.
Make me bleed.
Sounds like one of your weird...
Jizz biscuits.
I went to the dentist today for a cleaning, and I'm not like I still have my fucking teeth, but maybe I don't floss as much as I should. I have a water pick. I use it sometimes. I brush my teeth, but when I go get a cleaning, I fucking bleed. That's just the way it goes. But I have been to cleanings before where they kind of
got them sensitive gums.
They don't get into that shit enough. I want when you're cleaning my teeth, I want to fucking see blood on your fucking gloves.
That's the whole point.
Exactly. Like that
I don't
lets
floss because you're gonna just do it
right
every 6 months.
Right. Like that makes
me holy shit.
Yeah. No, the thing is if you floss so regularly, you won't bleed.
Floss? Shut up.
Every fucking night with my son.
You do.
Attaboy.
I do. Because if I don't watch him, he'll sit there and bite his toothbrush. I brush my teeth, Daddy. I'm like, no, nigga.
See, I've got an electric toothbrush. You know.
Dude, you wanna get my floss right now? I'll go get it and show you.
Show us how to floss.
I went to the grocery store today. I got a brand new bag downstairs. Some little pick flossers.
I like those pick flossers.
Yeah.
That's what I use.
You got to get the strings out of the thing, push it out.
The dentist tells me, oh, they're not as effective as the proper.
Yeah.
It's like,
doing something, motherfucker. So shut up.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like to me, it's like, hey, at least I know you're doing something. And that kind of pain pales. To you know, real dental pain, you know, where you got like fucking, you need a root canal.
You've had root canals,
root canals and shit.
Yeah, that's terrible. How did you get that root canal? Probably from all that flossing.
you know, he sounded like, I remember Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, when we went to go see, what was the dentist? Dean Martin. Yeah, Steve Martin, and he's fucking, you hurt me, yes.
Be a dentist. Yes. Be a success.
That's what you remind me of. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, it was good though. It was good. I was like, you know what? I feel like you put in a good day's work on my fucking mouth. It might look like
phrasing.
It might look like a murder scene, but I feel nice and clean now. So thank you, dental hygienist.
I paid my deductible. They do that. See some blood.
They do that thing where they see how your gum depth is, like they give you numbers on it.
That's like the first thing that she did.
Yeah. How'd you doing that? Fail?
I don't know. She didn't fucking tell me. She just started cracking jokes about like flossing and shit. It was an open conversation.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who are like, I want to get a good approval like report card that I'm taking care of my fucking teeth. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Well, once you start falling apart, you had one chip that scared the shit out of me. I had to get a crown. I don't know about you guys. Are you just are okay with root canals, but I don't want to get to that.
I'm not okay with root canals.
I've never had a cavity before.
You've never had a cavity?
Damn.
I've never had a cavity, bro. I'm 39 years old.
I don't believe you one bit.
You want it, bro? You want a fucking bet? I've never
had let's see it.
Get your dental records. Oh, no, go get my dental records.
Come on. I'm downstairs in the filing cabinet. Get my you goddamn dental
records.
Shut up. Let's go. Next.
All right. Moving on to Mystic South Park.
South Park. So, okay. So you guys hear about this whole China shit going on with the snitches?
Yeah.
So it started with the NBA, the Houston Rockets general manager tweeted out something criticizing the Hong Kong protest, criticizing the government, the Chinese government in the Hong Kong protest. So then he apologized for it because there was like this big backlash for the fucking Hong Kong.
Oh, shit, their money. They're taking our money.
Exactly. So and then they blocked a South Park episode. They've even gone so far as Baidu's Tieba. I don't know what that is. It's China's largest online discussion platform. The threads and sub-threads related to South Park are non-functional. If users manually type in the ULR to what was formerly the South Park thread, a message appears saying that according to the relevant law and regulation, this section is temporarily not open. So you've heard that like Winnie the Pooh, they say that Winnie the Pooh looks like Xi Jinping or whatever. Oh, yeah. So South Park's episode was making fun. It was called Banned in China, but it was written like spelled banned, B-A-N-D in China. And it was one of the storylines involves Randy getting caught attempting to sell weed in China and getting sent to a work camp similar to those Beijing has been using in Xinjiang province to hold as many as a million Chinese Muslims for political indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
So they banned it. And then so South Park, in their infinite South Parkisms, tweeted this out. Like the NBA, we welcome the Chinese censors into our homes and into our hearts. The statement reads, "We too love money more than freedom and democracy. Xi doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh at all. Tune into our 300th episode this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Long live the great Communist Party of China. May the autumn sorghum festival be bountiful. We good now, China?" So that aired tonight, and I don't know what happened, but I'm sure South Park, after they banned the last episode, has been up constantly remaking whatever they had just to fucking rip on China again. It's going to be good.
Dude, this shit is getting out of hand. This is, you know, there was some other shit with the, so there was the Rockets thing. There was like a professional gamer that was fucking banned. Like Blizzard came down on them for making a comment on this shit. Chinese censorship is not a good thing.
Right.
Like, we should not let that dictate our fucking way of life.
No, we shouldn't. But these big businesses get so much money from their investors.
Yeah. Fucking Hollywood, too. They're suck the teat of China all the time.
Right. Yeah. Cool. I mean, fucking cheers to these guys. You're right. They're just going to totally fucking go pedal to the metal.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fucking epic.
I'm gonna go look for it after this to watch it, Douglas.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody come back in. We got a full week. Got to redo this shit. We're fucking with China.
Yeah, for that, I guarantee you that's how it went.
Let's go.
I don't care how long. I'll buy as much Coke as we need to stay up.
Yeah, God, I hope they fucking make killer overtime working those shifts. All right. Moving on to this article called Unfit for Office that was in the Atlantic. Turns out it's actually written by George Conway, the husband of Kellyanne Conway. And it's kind of this great, like a greatest hits of Trumpisms and how they compare with the DSM and, you know, a pathological narcissism. And they have it because it's a long form article. They actually have a narrator who reads it like an audiobook.
It's fucking long.
Yeah. Jeez. So, but it's a good listen if you're at work or whatever. Than trying to just scroll and read that whole thing that way. But he's talking about how this one, let's see here. It says, okay, a psychologist, Dan P. McAdams, wrote in The Atlantic that to many health professionals, Donald Trump provides the perfect example of such extreme pathological narcissism. One clinical psychologist told Vanity Fair that he considers Trump such a classic pathological narcissist that he is actually archiving video clips of him to use in workshops because there's no better example of the characteristics of the disorder he displays. He says, otherwise, this clinician said he would have to hire actors and write vignettes to like make these examples to share, you know, in his when he's teaching. And so, yeah, he's like, Donald Trump is like a dream come true when you're trying to make like share textbook totally narcissistic is. Personality disorder. Yeah,
he's Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. If Dennis was 75 years old and the president.
Yep.
Like holy shit.
And that's that a show. A, you know what I mean? That's
good. Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a created character. That isn't like really him. I mean, this is Trump. That's how narcissistic this fucking Trump
really that's is. That's what I say. Like, he really doesn't have any sort of facade.
Oh. Yeah.
And one of the things they were saying was...
just all piece of shit all the time.
Yep. When he had... so... I can't remember her name, but she was that woman who won, I think, might have been last year, the Nobel Peace Prize. She was like an Iraqi woman who was kidnapped by ISIS.
Oh, isn't that the one where she said that her family was killed by them like three times, and he just kept asking her
where are they now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then after she explained that they were, you know, taken out, raped, and murdered.
Yeah, violently murdered.
And then they said he had a hard time even like kind of looking at her in the eyes. And the only time he really engaged with her was when he started to ask her about how she won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Like, how did it work? Did they call, you know, like,
yeah,
he wanted to know the process of how the winning the Nobel Peace Prize worked. Cause he's been, there's been reports that I think it was the president of Japan, wasn't it? That he was leaning on to be like, put in a word for me so I get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's so great. Yeah, check it out. If you're working on something you want to just listen to in the background, it's about an hour and 25 minutes or so. But definitely entertaining.
For an article?
Yeah, this thing is long as fuck.
It's way longer than what is that? I read like a 35 minute one time and I thought that was crazy.
What is that household like with the Conway household?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know. God, like, yeah.
They probably barely spend time together anymore.
God, that's gotta be dude, so the weird, sex man. Is
angry and good.
Yeah, I'll bet that sex.
That sex is angry and good.
Sure, yeah. Like that's how they probably get through their days. They work that stress out in the bedroom. you know, good for them.
Your boss is an idiot. You're a fat kid.
All right, we're moving on. Moving on to the fuck what you think section, ladies and gentlemen. And we got Mystic Pot Shit. Oh, there should be a colon there.
I thought he took a pot shit. I'm kind of curious.
It just says anyway. Pot shit.
No, okay, so I'm looking through Facebook and I see all these ads all the time. I recently bought a few things to make butter, you know, so like
what'd you buy?
Facebook is just like a cheesecloth, a fucking, you know, a sifter thing or not sifter, a fucking strainer, a grinder.
What's the cheesecloth like for?
To squeeze the shit out.
Okay.
I don't want to squeeze it. Just put my hand in like it.
Yeah.
Well, I use a strainer and I use a spray and a spatula and just fucking.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I just bought cheesecloth. The fucking whatever, man. Really don't judge me. Judge me, motherfucker.
You're being judged.
Well, yeah, it is so, Wisconsin. I got cheesecloth all around. Like, if I wouldn't buy cheesecloth, I'd have to go somewhere special.
Babies are wrapped in cheesecloth when they're born.
So, Facebook is going to suggest shit to me. And it's just all this ridiculous pot paraphernalia shit.
Yeah,
like it's like, hey, here's a kit that you can take with you so you can dab on the go. You know what I mean? What are you, a heroin addict? You got to carry around a fucking man bag looking thing with fucking
with a blowtorch and shit
and it's full of joint like a man, you fucking
yeah, right?
Like, what the fuck? I don't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah, these kids, like, yeah, you found my fucking dad room. Yeah, because you bought a sparkled case that you put under the seat to hide your shit in.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why he fucking found it. I got a joint. If I see life behind me, I swallow it, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. You can get rid of it quickly. Hide it under your nuts. They'll never find that shit unless they bring in the dogs.
Yeah, yeah, or like if you give them attitude.
But like, it's just all these. It's like when it started going legal in these states, these companies are just like, let's make some ridiculous shit that we can sell the fucking dumb kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these dumb kids are like, one of the kids up the street, he has a rig, it's like a little glass pipe like this big. He's like, $800-something. Like another one, yes. He's got like $600.
One of those dab rigs? That shit's insane.
Yeah, shit's insanely high.
Is it just because it looks cool?
It's supposed to hit better and do certain shit.
It's
one of those with the multiple weird chain.
No, these are blown glass. I mean, I'm talking about blown glass ones that are fucking.
Yeah.
No, I get that, but it's probably got like an electrical heating element on it, so you don't have to heat it with a torch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's a waste of money.
It's a such a
big waste of money.
You can buy two PS5s for that.
I don't need a dab.
Dude, the first time I did a dab, I was like, buddy brought all the shit. I was like, he brought out a blowtorch, like a big blowtorch. I'm like, what? Are we smoking weed, bro? I'm like, you sure this is weed?
Right.
Yeah, when I did it, was like, it looked like he was firing up heroin torch or something. Like, what? Like,
okay, so like, what is the, okay, for a non-weed smoker, what the fuck is a dab?
A dab is like extracted like the pure extracted THC and like a wax form.
THC and concentrate.
Yeah, concentrate. Yeah,
and you so heat it's up stronger when you fucking
like
smoke
hash
it.
Oh, yeah, fuck
way
yeah. Hash oil.
Way stronger. And then you heat up either if you got a glass part, it's a little glass thing you heat up.
So
or a metal nail, and then you put the dab on it and
like
inhale.
Normal weed, like good shit. You're talking mid 20% THC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe low 20s. It depends. I mean, that's like pretty fucking good. Dabs are like 90-some%.
Okay. So I would like probably die if
only
I fucking
need like
a little tiny bit.
You know?
The first time I hit one, I inhaled. It's not. I thought it was like clear, like a little bitty bong. I'm like, I didn't clear big yet. I got this. And I coughed like a bitch for 3 hours and then didn't know where I was. And I'm in my house.
Wow.
And I was like, insane. Yeah, I can't. It is more intense,
that's for sure.
Oh,
but
yeah,
come on,
a lot more intense.
You need to drive around with that and get high like that. Just roll the joint.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But these kids like that did that to me, and I've been smoking weed for fucking years.
Yeah, no wonder they're all fucking dying from vaping and shit.
I mean, these kids will hit like 3 and 4 in a row, and I'm like, y'all are fucking retarded. You want another one? No, I don't. I just want this one.
I want to be able to fucking order something at a drive-thru.
I'm like, why do you want this? I'm like, I don't
get it. Not just stare at the menu and go, huh?
Where am I?
Yeah, these kids are out of control.
The
shit.
Big Mac has 3 buns?
That's weird. I never noticed that.
All right. Moving on to me, Ashtray. Trump dumping on the Kurds and letting all those ISIS families out. How long ago was that? Like 6 months ago, we did that Scraps of ISIS or whatever episode?
Yeah, something like that.
About the prisons, tent prisons I have out there. Yeah. So go back in our archive, check it out. It's a big mess already. It's like barely under, this whole region is just barely been under control because of all the fighting and like 11,000 deaths.
Take care of it.
And yeah, so basically Turkey's going to go in there and just, what's that? What about
Kushner ain't got that shit taken care of yet?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Kushner.
Yeah, well, I mean, he basically just left the Kurds there to fucking get slaughtered by the Turkish fucking.
Yep. And because the Turks or the Kurds have to reinforce their positions, they're having to pull a lot of these prison guards or people who are soldiers who basically be just like watching these tent cities and making sure these crazy fucking ISIS families don't go nuts. Mm-hmm. They're having to pull away to their front lines. And at any moment, these prisons are just like, oh, look, there's 3 guys like guarding us. Like, they can't stop us all. Charge! Exactly. They're just going to fucking run away, and it's going to become this big. The problem is they, these crazy terrorists, like the real terrorists with these ridiculous ISIS ideas, they were able to kind of, you know, skirt around from village to village in this region until they finally locked it down with all the fighting the Kurds did for us.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like they had patrols, or it's like you couldn't easily just go from one village to another without coming across some Kurds who are going to stop you and be like, what are you doing? Who are you?
Right.
Which helped stop the ISIS problem. But now it's just going to, it'll fester right back because they're all just going to scurry around like rats and there's no real police patrol in that region. So fucking dumb.
He's the best. He's the best at defeating ISIS.
I know. All right. Teddy, Tech69, still a dumbass.
Yeah, so Tekashi69, who's known as the biggest snitch in the world. I don't advocate keeping silent. If you do some dumb shit in front of me or kill somebody and make me an accessory, I'm not going to jail for your dumbass, all right?
But I'm with you.
I'm not going to jail for your dumbass because you can figure out a way. I'm like, I play Hitman, figure out a good way to do that shit. But so he's been snitching on everybody for the longest time. His sentencing hearing is coming up. He's supposed to just get out because he cooperated. It was supposed to be on July the 28th, I believe, January 28th. But they moved it to, but his lawyers got it moved to like December 13th or 18th. So there's a possibility he could be out by Christmas. So they offered him, even with all those fucking face tattoos, they offered him what's called witness protection.
Good luck.
And well, here's the thing. They offered witness protection because he snitched on a lot of people. They offered witness protection. He turned it down.
Wow.
Because he wants to continue his rap career.
Yeah.
To make more.
He'll make have even more money. Security.
This guy's gonna fucking die.
But here's the thing, right?
Within a week.
What you forget is all these other rappers are put on trial and stuff. Tupac, well, Suge Knight's in jail finally. But who else was Snoop Dogg? These guys, they didn't snitch on anybody. They didn't tell anything, and they beat the case. I'm like, so what? You are known as the biggest snitch in history. Who the fuck is gonna work with you or want to buy your shit?
Right.
I never really read into what the story was behind it. What did he do, and why is he in jail now? I remember his face.
He's apparently part of a gang, the something, some bloods, whatever. They did gun running, fucking kidnapping, some other shit they did, and he pretty much just snitched on everybody, except for the Wu-Tang. The one funny meme I saw was like the judge was like, "Hey, tell me about this Wu-Tang Clan. Is it Tekashi 69? I can't, Your Honor. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with." That was the funniest one.
That's fucking funny.
But he snitched on everybody, which is, like I said, I don't advocate not snitching. Like you said,
you see what Snoop Dogg tweeted out?
So other rappers he's been ratting on too?
He mentioned Cardi B and some other people being in the gang with him and shit. So yeah, he snitched on a lot of money. He told a lot of shit. He's not going to jail. Snoop Dogg said? Yeah, what did he say?
He tweeted out a picture of him and Martha Stewart. And he was like, Martha Stewart didn't snitch on nobody when she went to prison. Shit, it's fucking crazy.
I mean, right, yeah, but it's something like, yeah, rappers who they're rappers who get off from a case, they have gone on to like make better and better money. But those are rappers who didn't snitch on anybody.
Yeah.
And yeah.
The biggest rat, and like, and you know, the biggest rat, like, I'll snitch on a motherfucker in a second. Y'all know what I mean?
But you don't have a rap career. You got a son.
Oh yeah, I know. No.
Right.
But it was.
I'm just saying.
That fucking he's a dumbass, and plus he's probably gonna die. So
probably.
Dad, I'm going with it within a week.
I'm going for when he steps out of court. They're gonna have some. They're gonna pay some dumb nigga to fucking
roll up, right?
Get arrested and go to jail for life.
All right. Moving on from dumb tech 6ix9ine to. Oracle email not being hooked up.
What's to that? More dumb tech.
Probably in a 69.
My girlfriend comes home tonight and she's like, "Oh yeah, you've been getting those emails about so and so trying to send them through and it not working. They're being kicked back." And I'm like, "Oh, what?" And it's on a domain. It's on a G Suite domain that I have for another website. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Wait a second. So I go back into my thing and I never switched the shit over from when I did the... Remember when I took like the Red Eye report and I put it on a new server and shit? So yeah. That was like 2.5 months ago.
So you never switched it back?
Yeah. So I just checked my email before I got on. I haven't been receiving emails on that for 2.5 months.
Wow.
I didn't know because I have all my shit. It just automatically comes on my phone. It forwards on my phone. Yeah. So I didn't realize that it wasn't coming from that website. So yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens when that kicks in. Hopefully I didn't get any, you know, somebody didn't offer me like $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right. You missed out on some inheritance.
Yeah. From Uganda. They're like, yeah.
I am a Nigerian princess. Yeah, I want to send you.
I don't know if you guys have ever had that where maybe something has
I'm
just.
I'm going to piss my pants.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I got to go.
Go.
All right. Yeah. All right. So fuck Oracle's email.
Wait for him to come back.
Oh no! All right. In all seriousness, go fuck yourself, Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna be here every Wednesday night or Thursday night, 10 p.m. Central, unless Craig, who's Craig? Fucking ashtray's a bitch and gets sick again.
Don't use real names.
Join the conversation at theredeyereport.com or facebook.com/redeyereport. You can also twiddle us at, what is it now? Red Eye_Report.
Yep.
Like us, share us, or fuck us. We're down for whatever, because I'm the ashtray.
I'm Oracle.
And I'm Teddy, and Mystic is pissing his pants right now.
Yeah, I am.
Go pee, you big meat mountain.